for the saints of faith. Trust you one who never fails, oh Daniel prays.
Oh Daniel prays every morning.
It seems that anyone who seeks to understand the prophetic events leading up to Messiah's return starts with Yeshua's Olivet Discourse in Matthew 24. The focal point of that passage may well be the revelation of the person Christian eschatology calls the Antichrist. As Yeshua says, "So when you see the abomination of desolation, which was spoken of through Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place, let the reader understand, then those in Judea must flee to the mountains." Now, did you ever pay attention to that parenthetical remark, "let the reader understand"? If not, you should. Unless we know what the gospel writer meant, we'll miss the point of our Messiah's instructions. To understand, we start in Daniel 9, verses 20 through 27. "While I was still speaking and praying, confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my supplication before Adonai my God on behalf of the holy mountain of my God, yes, while I was praying, Gabriel, the one I had seen in the earlier vision, came to me swiftly about the time of the evening offering. He instructed me and said, 'Daniel, I have come now to give you insight and understanding. At the beginning of your requests, a message went out, and I have come to declare it to you, for you are greatly esteemed. Therefore, consider the message and understand the vision. 70 weeks are decreed concerning your people and your holy city, to put an end to transgression, to bring sin to an end, to atone for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy, and to anoint the Holy of Holies. So know and understand, from the issuing of the decree to restore and to build Jerusalem until the time of Messiah the Prince, there shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. It will be rebuilt with plaza and moat, but it will be in times of distress. Then, after the 62 weeks, Messiah will be cut off and have nothing. Then the people of a prince who is to come will destroy the city and the sanctuary. But his end will come like a flood. Until the end of the war that is decreed, there will be destruction. Then he will make a firm covenant with many for 1 week. But in the middle of the week he will put an end to sacrifice and offering, and on a wing of abominations will come one who destroys, until the decreed annihilation is poured out on the one who destroys." Now do you understand it? Probably not. Therefore, we need to do some more digging. Daniel says he was praying and confessing his sins and the sins of his people. Why? Well, for that we must go to the opening verses of the chapter. "In the first year of Darius the son of Ahasuerus, of Median descent, who was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood from the books that according to the word of Adonai to Jeremiah the prophet, the number of the years for the fulfilling of the desolation of Jerusalem would be 70 years. So I set my face to the Lord God to seek him by prayer and supplications, with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes." So now we see Daniel is praying about the restoration of his people Israel. But why? Well, for that, we consult Jeremiah 29:10-14. "For thus says Adonai, after 70 years for Babylon are complete, I will visit you and fulfill my good word toward you, to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans that I have in mind for you, declares Adonai, plans for shalom and not calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Then I will be found by you, says Adonai, and I will return you from exile and gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I have driven you, says Adonai, and I will bring you back to the place from which I have removed you as captives into exile." And now we see Daniel's prayers are connected to another verse popularly quoted by Christians: "I know the plans that I have in mind for you, to give you a future and a hope." That promise is made specifically to the people of Israel, and it speaks of the restoration of Israel from exile. Daniel was a teenager when Jeremiah recorded this prophecy, and he remembered it all his life. It was important to him because he'd been taken into exile at the first Babylonian conquest of Jerusalem in 597 BC. Daniel was of noble birth, probably from the royal house of David. Most likely he was made a eunuch when he was forcibly taken into the service of King Nebuchadnezzar. His career spanned the entire exile, all 70 years. That means Daniel was about 90 years old when King Cyrus of Persia decreed the rebuilding of Jerusalem and the release of the captives. Now, think about the events in Daniel's life. The test of his devotion to God in chapter 1. The interpretation of Nebuchadnezzar's dream of the statue of gold, silver, bronze, iron, and clay in chapter 2. The test of his friends in the fiery furnace in chapter 3. The madness of Nebuchadnezzar and Daniel's ministry to him in chapter 4. The handwriting on the wall in Belshazzar's feast in chapter 5. The ordeal in the lion's den in chapter 6. The vision of the four beasts in chapter 7. The vision of the ram and the he-goat in chapter 8. The prayer of repentance and the 70 weeks prophecy in chapter 9. And the latter day's vision in chapters 10, 11, and 12. That's less than a dozen significant events spanning a public career of 70 years. What do you suppose Daniel did during the long years in between those events? We get a clue in chapter 6, which tells us he prayed morning, noon, and evening. At the same times, offerings and prayers had been given at the temple before its destruction. But there's something else in chapter 6. So Darius the Mede took over the kingdom at the age of 62. It pleased Darius to appoint 120 satraps to rule throughout the whole kingdom with three administrators over them, one of whom was Daniel. These satraps were accountable to them so that the king would not be troubled. Now this Daniel was distinguishing himself among the supervisors and satraps because he had an extraordinary spirit in him. In fact, the king planned to appoint him over the entire kingdom. At this time, the supervisors and satraps tried to find ground for a charge against Daniel regarding the kingdom, but they were unable to find fault or corruption because he was trustworthy and no negligence or dishonesty could be found in him. Finally, these men said, "We're not going to find any basis or charges against this man Daniel unless we find something against him regarding the law of his God." Daniel's routine of thrice daily prayer is what created the occasion for his enemies to entice the king into throwing him into the lion's den. What you may not have noticed is that this occurred at the beginning of the reign of King Darius. At the same time, Daniel was crying out to God in repentance for his people and intercession about the prophesied end of the exile. The reign of Darius coincided with the fall of Babylon and the end of the 70 years. We can infer that Daniel had much more reason to pray fervently, just as he had during years of careful devotion to his God. No amount of distraction or persecution, even the threat of horrible death, would dissuade him. No wonder God's messenger called him a man highly esteemed. Which brings us to another question. Daniel received this revelation after a lifetime of trauma, suffering, tedious service, and the pain of knowing he could never have children. People have given up all hope for much less. But this man of God endured the trial for 7 decades. Only then was he proven worthy of special trust from the Almighty. Knowing that, how can we suppose we will understand this revelation if our devotion to our Creator is any less than Daniel's? Daniel endured a lifetime of testing just to be counted worthy of God's revelation. What will it take for us to be worthy to understand that revelation and to walk it out in obedience?
Daniel prayed,
oh, Daniel prayed every morning, noon.